Whenever I look up and see Michael about halfway hanging out that window trying to get my attention, I know that means turn the microphone on. Amen. Romans chapter 8, I started preaching last week about David being confronted over his sins. And he confessed his sins. And we'll read it. Yeah, we'll be there. 2 Samuel, we'll read the story. And Nathan the prophet, which is the Bible. Prophets are always the Bible. The Bible tells him, your sins are forgiven. But the sword will never leave your house. And I had some people comment about it and so on, and had someone write to me. And they were kind of struggling with that. Not that they didn't believe it, but the question was, does that sword ever leave? Even though we've confessed sins, we've made things right, does that sword ever leave? And I got to thinking about it. And God's kind of laid just another as. We're going to look at it from a different angle today. All right? The sword will never depart from thine house. Now, last week, that was, I guess, the bad side of it. Okay? God's sword is a double-edged sword. Remember that. We use that expression to mean while something is bad, there's some kind of good in it. So we looked at it last week from the angle of the sword never leaves your house. Things you do, a lot of them cannot be undone. Amen? We don't have any time machines, can't go back in time, fix some of the stuff, and so on. Sometimes once words go out, you can't stuff them back in. Okay? And so there was that aspect of it last week. But I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, there is another side to this, and I truly believe this, and I'll show you this morning. Romans chapter 8, what I want to do is kind of give you, there was a verse that I didn't finish with last Sunday morning, and understand that this sword now, representing the Word of God, but it also represents fighting for something, or fighting over something. And so he says in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And the answer, that's one of those questions that the answer is obvious. It's rhetorical. The answer is no. None of these things. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of the sword. None of those things will ever separate us from the love of Christ. And he said in verse 36, that is, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, he said, for I am persuaded. This is what I want you to get in your mind and in your heart today. You need to be persuaded of this. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to hear God's people say amen. Amen. So the question is, 2 Samuel chapter 12, did God still love David? Did God still love David? Absolutely. He loved him. Called him a man after his own heart. David is the man that God chose. Now, I want you to hold on to this now. David is the man that God chose when he prophesies in Ezekiel 37 is the prophecy about the dry bones in the desert. You know how the ankle bone connected to the shin bone. You know, they're all going to come back together. And God said He's going to restore the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He's going to put them back together. And He said, I will set David on the throne. Not the dead David from way years before, but the new David, who is Christ. He's of the house of David. Now I want you to put some things together this morning. Okay? The sword shall never depart from your house. I want you to think about that. 2 Samuel chapter 12, are you there? Say amen. Verse 7. Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. But had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, that thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, and I have this underlined, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. And I want you to start putting some things together in your mind. Where did Jesus come from? Came from the house of David. And who is Jesus? Hang on, I'm going to make a better connection than you did, all right? Watch this. He said, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Let's pray. You pray for me as I try to work this message out in my mind. Pray that God will give me the clarity of thought that I need. A lot of times I'll have the scriptures down and I don't have a clue how to preach it. All right? So you just pray that God will take us in the right direction. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm asking for your help. Lord, I'd be in great, grave error, Lord, to think if I ever got up here that I have something really, really good to tell people, Lord, because I don't. I have no bread for these people. And Lord, they have come to this place because they're on a long journey through life. And Lord, there are times when they're not sure if they're going to make it. And they've come, Lord, to this place because the journey is hard. And the road is hard and it's tiresome. And they've come here tired. And they've come here hungry. And they've come beseeching us and we have no bread. So I'm coming to you, Lord, as our neighbor and as our friend. And I'm asking you, would you rise and give us bread so that our souls may be refreshed and we'll have the rest that we need. We'll be able to continue on in the journey, Lord, that you have laid before us. Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that some people in this room today, Lord, their journey is going to be shorter than others. We don't know who that is. Lord, we don't even know why that is. But Father, we just ask God that, Lord, you prepare your people. You give them a blessing. Lord God, you fill them with bread. Give them plenty, Lord, for the trip down the road. And Lord, as you taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, bless your people and help me to preach this message. Lord, help me to do it justice. Help me, Lord, to say it right. And Lord, let it be a blessing to people so that people rejoice not in me, but in your word and in your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, rise and help us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. If you look at verse 10 again, he said, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. Let me run down the little lineage here. David was the son of Jesse. Jesse was the son of Obed was the son of Boaz and Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, it traces the lineage all the way from Obed, Boaz, all the way back to Perez, and then to Judah. So David is coming from the house of Judah, all right? And the house of Judah is where Jesus comes from, but he comes specifically through the line of David, which means that he is the heir to the throne of David. When Christ comes back, he is going to establish his throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule over the entire world for 1,000 years, and ain't nobody going to give him any guff for it. Amen? Amen. I'm looking for... Listen, I wish we could elect Jesus Christ to be president of the United States this year. Amen? Amen. I won't get into all that because Anyway, stick with the message, Mike. So watch this. It is said now that Jesus... In fact, in Luke chapter 10, remember in the story, in Luke chapter 2, remember when Joseph and Mary left and had to go back to Bethlehem for what reason? They were being taxed by the Roman emperor, and they went to Bethlehem because he was of the house of who? David. Bethlehem was where David, in fact, is called Bethlehem Judah, because it's from the tribe of Judah and from the tribe of David. So Jesus is a direct descendant of King David. So it is said now that Jesus is of the house of David. Everybody follow me so far? I hope I don't mess this up, because I liked it. I like putting it together. So I want you to understand now, there's always a dual thing here. Was God watching over David when David did all this bad stuff? Absolutely. Does God still have a blessing for David? Yes. I believe David is in heaven right now. I believe we'll get to see David one of these days. Somebody say amen. Okay? So watch this. He said, "The sword shall never depart from thine house." Now take your Bible and turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. You turn there, and I'm going to put up on the screen Revelation 5, and I'll read it to you. Revelation 5, there's a book in God's right hand. It is what you have in your hand, I believe. It is God's Word. It is His book. It is how Jesus comes to do what He does. He said, "Lo, in the volume of the book, I come to do Thy will, O God." And God has this book, and it's sealed with seven seals, and there went out a call to find who was worthy to open the book and loose the seals. And nobody was, till finally they rested on Christ. And it says in Revelation 5:5, "One of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seven seals thereof." Now I'm just going to throw this in here. If Christ does not come in this place and stand here and open to you the Word of God, I have absolutely nothing to give you. If Christ does not open this book in your eyes and in your mind, you can sit there and I can preach my guts out and read Bible verse after Bible verse, and you'll just sit there and shake your head going, "I don't believe that, I don't believe that, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of nonsense, I don't believe that." If Christ does not open the book for you, you're lost. Somebody say amen. By the way, that applies to you when you get home too. How's your Bible when you get home? Is it closed? I'm not talking about how it decorates the coffee table. I'm not talking about the plaque you got on the wall. I'm talking about when you go home, is your Bible, who opens your Bible? If you don't pick your Bible up and read it every now and then, that thing stays closed. Think about who keeps it closed. All right? I get off that. Anyway, so it announces here in Revelation 5 that he's from the tribe of Judah, and he's of the root of David, or he's of the house of David. Then look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 12. Here is Christ now. He's coming down from heaven with 10,000s of His saints dressed in white. That's us. Somebody say amen. And we're going to take over the earth. He said His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. And His name is called what? The Word of God. Do you believe your Bible this morning? Here's what you're doing. You're holding in your hand the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Do not let anybody try to separate this Bible from who Jesus is, and what Jesus is, and what God is, because they are the same thing. And speaking of that, John said in 1 John chapter 1, very first verse, he said, "That which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have handled of the Word of life." You hold the Word of God in your hand. You've seen it with your eyes. Somebody say amen. So it is as much as Christ is the Word, they cannot be separate from one another. So watch this now. He says His name is called the Word of God. Verse 14, "And the armies which are in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." I wonder if we're going to get white cowboy boots to wear too. Amen. White cowboy boots and a white lasso. I've been watching too much Westerns. Amen. But I'm looking forward to that. I can't think of a time on this earth when I've ever ridden a horse. I don't think I've ever ridden a horse. But I've never ridden a horse. Never ridden a horse. Okay? I've had plenty of Charlie horses. Okay? I've never ridden a horse. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ride a horse. Amen? Now watch this. Verse 15. "And out of His mouth goeth a" what? "Sharp sword." What is that sword? We're going to find out. So watch this. Put this together now. Jesus is of the house of David. And the prophet said, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Now, let's tie some things together. What we said last week was that the sword is a divider. Okay? David's house, from that point forward, was all busted up, wasn't it? Remember Tamar raped by her brother Amnon, then Absalom killed Amnon, and then Absalom tried to take his dad's throne, and he was killed by Joab. And then in the days of Solomon got in his wickedness, and then after Solomon departed, and then the kingdom was divided, that was the sword that divided all of that. Now watch this, I'll put this together. Jesus, when he came, I don't know why I didn't think of this verse before, but when Jesus came, he said, think not I'm come to bring peace into the world, I'm come to bring a what? A sword. Because I want to tell you something, in the world that we're living in right now, you're either for God's word and for God's righteousness, or you're against it, and there'll be people in the same house who will be one way or the other. And let me tell you something. If your family members are glad that Barack Obama said that your daughter can be sitting in a bathroom in her school while a male comes in her bathroom and takes his clothes off in front of her, if your family member said that was okay, there's a sword in your house. Amen? And I want to need a battery. Somebody run and get me a battery real quick. Or I'll just run. I'll be like this. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. That man, and I believe God's in it, that man is dividing this nation. Amen. There is not a chance in the world that I'm going to stand by. If my wife, we're out on Sweetie Pie Day, and she says, wait for me, I got to go to the bathroom, there ain't a chance in the world I'm going to let some man walk in on her. I won't let it happen. You can say whatever you want. You say, oh, you're not supposed to be a fighter. You're supposed to be at peace with everybody. I'm not at peace with that. Amen. Listen, at some point, it's going to be known who is and who isn't on the side of the Lord. And as hard as it may have been 10 years ago to tell who's on God's side, who isn't, I guarantee you every day that goes on from here on out, it's going to get real easy. When your Facebook friends, when you put on there that no man should ever be in a woman's bathroom, you put that on Facebook and give scripture and watch who your friends really are on the side of. God's going to put a sword in your house. You're going to have to decide. And what God is doing, He's parting asunder you from this world. Think about what Jesus said. If thy right hand offend thee, do what to it? Cut it off. Why? If you've got leprosy in your hand, or you've got an infection, thanks, Scooter. If you've got an infection in your hand, and they're trying to cure it, and they can't cure it, what are they going to have to do to it? It's offending the rest of the body. It's going to have to be cut off. It's going to have to be severed. And I want to tell you something. What God's doing right now in this country is that He's severing some things out away from us, and you ought to be glad He's doing it. Because this stuff we wanted for years. Amen? All right, hang on while I change batteries. I may disappear for a minute. Hey, Jimmy, what was that down in your lap there? What was that down in there? I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I'd toss it to Linda. Now watch this. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So I want you to catch this now. The sword shall never depart from your house. Do you now understand, on this side of it, what that sword represents? What is it? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It is Christ being in your house, Christ being in your life. And I want to tell you something, if you're living for Christ and your wife is not, or you're living for Christ and your husband is not, if you're a child trying to live for Jesus and your parents don't do it, or whoever it is, there's a sword in your house. Every time you open that Bible up, there's going to be a sword in your house. And I get emails from people. There's a young lady who writes me every... She says, Pastor Mike, she said, I'm just such at odds with my dad. He's a pastor, and I know he's not preaching right. I know he's not sticking with the Word of God. I know he's not, and I want to stick with the Word of God. I don't want my daddy to be angry with me. I don't want to separate from my daddy, but I got to follow. Pray for that lady. You pray for her that God will allow her to keep the Word of God in her life and stick with the Word of God instead of what her family says to do, instead of what the direction her family is going. Somebody's going to have to stick with the Word of God. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, this message is, I guess, get ready to go to war. Get ready to go to war. I already know the answer to this. You can raise your hand if you want to. You don't have to. Who's got guns in their house? Okay? Why? Protection. Who's got one loaded? Okay. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Every one of those is a spirit that wants to dominate, wants to take over. Those spirits are taking over our nation. They're taking over the state of Missouri. They're taking over our families and our homes. They took over Hollyweird a long time ago. Amen? They're taking over the music industry, taking over every place that they can. And that's who we're wrestling against. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." You know what the truth is? Bible. Okay? "And having the breastplate of righteousness." You know righteousness is found? In the Bible. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, for profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Where is the gospel? It's in your Bible. "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. "Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation." Where's salvation? Salvation's in thy word. Read Psalm 119. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Your best defense in your life is the helmet of the Word of God. Your best defense in your life is having your feet shod with the Word of God. Having your loins girt about with the Word of God. Anytime you study that out, anytime somebody was going to get up and do something, the Bible says before they did, they got up and girded their loins. Okay? They got out of bed. You know, I won't get too deep into it. They got out of bed, had to put some clothes on. Think of firemen. Yeah, firemen here. Okay? Think of firemen who have their turnout gear in the middle of the night. Where's their turnout gear? Right next to their bed. They don't got it locked up in the attic somewhere. They got it right next to the bed. When they jump out of bed, they jump right into those boots. Pull them up. Out the door they go. Amen? Your loins girt about with the Word of God. That's your best defense. But then you've got something that if you're sick and tired of them beating on you all the time, you got a shield of faith, and you're sick and tired of taking the fiery darts, pull that sword out and say, "Look, I've had enough. I've had enough of you. I've had enough of you coming after me. I've had enough of you coming after my children. I've had enough of you coming after my marriage. I've had enough of you coming after to destroy my church and tear my church down. That's my faith. That's my pastor. I've had it." You take that sword out. And I want to tell you, you'd be surprised at that. The idea of having a sword is you hope that you never have to use it. Am I right? Right? Those of you that conceal. Okay? Who in here who conceals, you don't have to raise your hand either, really is itching to just pull down on somebody? Not me. Not me. I hope to never, ever, ever have to use it. But if as I was in a situation and me and Sweetie Pie was out and somebody was starting up trouble, I would hope that if I just pulled that out, that would be the end of it. Do you believe that? You stand there with a sword. Now, keep in mind, if you threaten me, or you threaten my wife, or you threaten my children, you threaten my grandchildren, you threaten anybody in this church, I'm going to stand there with a sword. Because all you're doing right now is flapping your gum. We've had that. We've had emails, people just mouth off how they hate us and hate me and this and that and the other. Okay? But if you take two steps in my direction, I will not wait for you to take the first swipe. Am I right in that? Oh, we're supposed to be at peace with everybody. Jesus came to bring a sword. Because there are certain things that are absolutely worth fighting for. Now, if you want my car, that's fine. I'm not giving my car away. Just saying, okay? You want my wallet, that's fine. The cash is in there, but I'll cancel the credit cards before you get down the road. But if you want my wife and my children and my grandchildren, I'll cut your head off. That's not mean. That's not wicked. That doesn't show, well, he's not a very good Christian. But I've had people that turn our church off when I talk like that. They don't like that kind of talk. I don't like saying stuff this way. But let me tell you something. Defense in the physical world is always going to be a picture of defense in the spiritual world. And when you get tired of taking the darts, when you've had one attack after another, after you, going after you, when you are sick and tired of being hit at, and what's the word I'm looking for? Can't find it. Threatened and bullied. When you've had enough, you pull that sword out and get ready to swing. Because if they come over, I hate to do this. Hang on, I got to build up to it. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. One day I was down in the woods. And I've told this story, so a lot of you probably know what I was doing down there. I had an axe in my hand and I was just letting out some pretty bad things out on this poor dead tree. And I was swinging away. And while I was swinging at that tree, just stuff started coming out. I don't want to get gross, but you know how you get that sick feeling in your stomach and you feel like you're going to lose it, okay? Losing it's the best thing, because after it's out, you're going, you doing okay? Oh yeah, I feel a lot better. Right? There's just something about purging things out of us that make us feel better. Now, I could just go, if you do this and I don't want to do that, you understand. There's something about purging the body that just makes us feel good. Well, I want to tell you something. Every now and then, you got to purge your mind, too. Purge your soul. And I was down in the woods purging, and stuff was coming out of me, and God heard it, and me and God's the only one that knows it. But I stood there for a minute, and God was dealing with me. I had that axe in my hand. I was down in the woods behind our house, and I heard something in the leaves. Well, I've been in the woods enough to know, deer season, you hear something in the leaves, it's either a 12-point buck or a squirrel that makes you think it's a 12-point buck. Amen? Stupid squirrels. Okay? Well, I heard that over there, and it was on the other side of the fence. Now, I want you to consider this now. I was on my property. God gives you men an area. How many of you believe that? God gives you men an area, a land, a house. Don't ever let the sword depart from it, because you're going to need it. So when I looked over there, I didn't see a squirrel and I didn't see a 10-point buck. I saw a pit bull. I don't like those things. There's a man up in St. Louis, did you read that? Who's raising pit bulls in his house, and one of them ate him. They found him in his house with bite marks all in his neck. One of them they had to put down. I don't know if they put down both of them, but one of them, the cops went in there and they had to shoot him before they could even get anywhere near it. I do not like pit bulls. They're mean and dangerous. And, I mean, I don't like little yapping chihuahuas either. But I'm not concerned the chihuahua is going to grab my throat. Okay? But that's what a pit bull can do. And that pit bull was walking toward me on the other side of the fence. And when I saw him, I squared up with my axe in my hand. And I'm going to have to kill this dog with this axe. And when I said, "Y'all out of here!" Huh! Like that. That dog looked up at me, and I'm going, here it goes. He sees me. He's going to come over and try to lock on me. And when that dog saw me standing there with that axe, that dog took one look and turned around and ran as fast as he could the other way. And God said, "Mike, they're here." And I said, out loud, I said, "That goes for the rest of you. Get away from my family. Get away from my house. You don't belong here." God showed me something that day. Something I've known, but it just really became alive. I know for a fact there's always going to be a sword in my house. Always. I know for a fact there's always going to be a sword in this church. I know it. There are people, we were talking about it the other day, the old Bethel is nowhere near as much as the new Bethel is. I'm talking about me and Brother Sterling and Gloria and Lisa and Jimmy and Linda and Sister Bernice, she watches online, we love you. But the old Bethel's going away. The new Bethel's here. Okay? And some of the old Bethel left because there was a sword here. And I know it. And I grieve over it. But I've had people want me to back down on certain things. I've had people that didn't want me to say certain things. I can't. I can't. I get in trouble. I may be afraid of your face, but there's a face that I'm way more afraid of. Okay? The sword will never depart from our house. You'll always need one. Back in Leviticus chapter 26, look at here. Look at here. I want to tell you what, this Bible's right. Leviticus 26, verse 7. "You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the" what? He didn't say by buying them candy. He didn't say giving the Muslims taxpayer money. They ain't scared of us. Hey, man, hey, they are not afraid of us. We've got 7 years of bowing down to people who have sworn to destroy this nation. And they're not afraid of us. You know why? We dropped the sword. Why do you think Hitler went into France? He wasn't afraid of them. I saw this thing on Facebook the other day. It said, World War II French soldier rifle. Only fired, or never fired, only dropped once. Okay? You get my point. They're coming over here because they are not afraid of us. Because as a nation, we dropped the sword. And we're not right. And when you drop the sword, that's the word of God. You will not live right. God will not bless us. And our enemies will come against us. I am telling it like it is. "You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemy shall fall before you by the sword." And I want to tell you something. All it takes sometimes is just standing there. It's all it takes. If you are a thief, and you're thinking about robbing a liquor store, and in that liquor store, there's a security guard standing there with a gun in his hand. What are you going to do? "I'm going to the next liquor store. I ain't no way in the world I'll get away with this." Why? He's got a sword. And he's showing it to you. And he ain't afraid. You're not going to rob that place. You never get away with it. Am I right? Am I telling you right? Okay? A lot of times in life, remember who our enemies are. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes all it takes is just saying, you know what? I've had it. I'm tired. I'm tired of taking the attacks. I'm tired of the fiery darts. I'm tired of standing all the time. I've had it. And if they don't leave, I'm going to use this thing. I want to show you something here a little bit. I'm going to try to get with it. Let me run through some scriptures. Judges chapter 7. Here's a perfect example of this. Okay? In the story of Gideon. Remember Gideon? And God told him he was going to build an army, and they were going to take on the Ammonites or Moabites or something like that. The Midianites, who it was. He was going to take on the Midianites. God promised that he would destroy them. And Gideon said, I don't think I can do this. God said, that's why you're the man. That way it won't be you, it'll be me. So Gideon rounded up an army. I mean, he had thousands in there. And God came to him and said, Gideon, your army's too big. Your army's too big. You need to cut most of it out. So Gideon ended up with 300 people. That was it. Against an army of thousands. And people said, well, you an idiot? No, listen, because little is much when God is in it. Amen? Amen. Here's sitting about 80 people in this church. And yet we distributed, about 1,300 swords. This is the month of April. Amen! Little is much when God's in it. Somebody say amen. So watch this. So here's Gideon now, and he's fixing to take them on. So Gideon, the 100 men that were with him, came under the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and break the... See, they had them stand there with a pitcher in one hand with a lamp in it and a sword in the other. So they break the pitchers... And they blew the trumpets. In verse 20 it says, and the three companies blew the trumpets to break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. 300 men standing around thousands of the Midianites. And they broke the lamps, stood there with trumpets, and they said, the sword of the Lord! And the Midianites went, ah! And they ran! And verse 22, and it said, the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord said, I like this. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. The Midianites were killing the Midianites! Woo! So even throughout all the hosts fled to Beth Shittah and Zerath, the border of Abel, Meholah, and Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. All they did was say, I've got a sword! And the Midianites jumped up and run, and they started killing one another. They were so frantic and scared. They were scared of like their own shadow. They were so scared and frightened that when they looked over and saw another person, they thought it was one of them Jews, and they killed him! Come to find out, it was his first cousin. He's on the same side. They was killing one another. God did that several battles from the Bible, if I remember right. But here's the thing. All they did was say, I've got a sword. Okay? Several years ago, a guy gave me a gun. It's a Mossberg 12-gauge pump with a tactical grip. Big deal. Okay? And he told me, he said, Mike, best thing about a gun like this, if you're in your house, don't even have to keep it locked. You think somebody's in your house 3 o'clock in the morning, grab that thing and go... If they're smart, they'll run. If they're not smart, you better find the ammo and do it again, okay? You know what that is? I'm announcing. I've got deadly force and I will use it. Because I'm telling you people, just the sight of the sword in many cases of life is enough to get devils to flee. Let me show you a picture of that. Man, I've got... Hang on a second. Well, I got something I want to get. I do want to read this one. 2 Samuel 23, turn there. I'm going to try to wind it down now. I'm going to try to bring it down. I know y'all's hungry. Okay? Bless God. I've got a stomach now the size of a banana. You know what'll fit in there? A banana. So I don't get hungry like everybody else does. But I know you're getting tired, and watch this now. David had, there's a list of David's mighty men. Study this out in your Bible. You'll love it. David had mighty men. These be the names of the mighty men, 2 Samuel 23:8, whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. One man with a spear killing 800 men. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, that's nonsense to you. I believe when God gives you the power, little as much when God's in it. Amen? So watch this. Whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Holite. One of three mighty men was David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and... watch this now. This was Eleazar. You look at what is written about Eleazar. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. Do you get what that means? He had a grip on that sword, and he had slung that sword so much for hours on end that his muscles in his hand locked tight. You know the bumper stickers, right? Eleazar had a bumper sticker on his chariot that said, "You can have my sword when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers." Because his hand was weary. That means the flesh is weak. But he wasn't about to let go of that sword. It was like his hand and the sword were one. Thank God for some men and some ladies in our church. Their hand cleaves to the sword. They'll never let it go. The sword will never depart from that house. Never. What's good, isn't it? And that's God's Word. Boy, I got so much I want to preach on this. Oh, I like this one. Get ready for this one. Here we go. Psalm 149:4. I don't know when it happens, but at a certain point, when a man becomes a U.S. Marine, he's given a what? No Marine that I'm aware of upon... That's an earned honor, am I correct? Has to be earned? You don't just get it for signing up? Right? No Marine that I know of, upon receiving his sword... ever goes to the pawn shop right after that, see if he can get 50 bucks out of it. Why? He's earned it. It's a badge of honor. And I still like to see our military guys carrying swords. And you watch this. Watch this now. You listen to the Word of God. Psalm 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now watch this. Let me show you how God sees this. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Let me tell you why they want Wayne Shirk to not have any guns in his house. Let me tell you why they don't want George with any guns in his house. Why they don't want me with them, they don't want you with them, they don't want guns in anybody's house in the United States of America. Because the kings of America want to be unchained and unfettered to do whatever they want to do. Do you believe that? If you don't, I love you, but you're a fool. They want those guns out. The Constitution guaranteed us the right to keep and to bear. That means hold them. Hold arms. Not for squirrel hunting. Doesn't say squirrel hunting. Doesn't say rabbit hunting, deer hunting. Doesn't say skeet shooting. It was to protect our liberties given to us by the Constitution, given to us by God, guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States. A man with a sword in his hand will not be a slave to his government. What's good? Amen! Look at that! A two-edged sword in their head to bind their kings with chains! That means if the people are armed, they can't just run all over the top of us. Now watch this. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all His saints. Praise ye the Lord. Listen, God has honored you. He has honored you with the ability. He gave you a sword. Just like, I like that picture. Just like that Marine standing there with that sword in his hand. That is an honor. Amen? He stands there with honor too. And I would to God that we had men running our military that had as much honor as the guys serving in the military. Oh, I would to God we had that. Because God says that He honors His people with the sword. Hang on, one more. Oh, I like this. Genesis chapter 3. I'm not even going to put it up on the screen. Genesis chapter 3. You're going to like this. Turn there. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree called the Tree of Life. Adam had access to it. Eve had access to it. All those who eat of it shall live. You know, the Bible, if you study that phrase, Tree of Life, there's things about our families and our homes that are a Tree of Life to us. My family is my life. Okay? My wife is my life. Okay? I live for her. She lives for me. My children are my life. My grandchildren are my life. This church is my life. You guys are a tree of life to me, because being around you guys, I find refreshment. I find comfort. I like it when you amen, when I get real excited. And sometimes I think it's funny when I say something really great and you don't get it. Okay? I'm just going, okay, I'm going to back up a little bit and go slower here. But this is my tree of life. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, that tree of life was precious. And God could not allow sinners to have access to immortality. Could not allow it. So look at what He did. So He drove out the man, Genesis 3:24, and He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now let me just digest this for a bit, just a minute, and I'll let you out. My family is my tree of life. This church is my tree of life. Outside of my family and you people here, I don't have anything. Okay? I'm not affiliated with something else. I don't have another wife and children in some other state that I go to every now and then. I've heard of people that do that. I don't have anything else other than this right here. And I'd like to keep this for about as long as I possibly can.
Amen.
Amen. I got to say this. I would like to make sure that no woman ever or man goes into the woman's bathroom here at Bethel Church. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You watch it. You write it down that I said this on May 15th, 2016. There will be a law that will mandate churches to have a transgendered bathroom.
Amen.
You write it down and get ready.
Amen.
Because they're going to come after us. Their role is to try to corrupt every family, every school, every church house, every institution in America. That's their job. They're going to do their job. It's time for you to do yours. Okay? Your family, the way that you live and your way of life is your tree of life. It's what keeps you going. Okay, I love going to Kenya. I love coming back. Kenya is not my home. It's a strange environment. Some of the food's strange. Okay, I can't live there. I want to live here. This is who I am. This is the dirt that I came from. Okay, I will defend it with a sword. And I want you to notice in that verse, that angel, there was four cherubims there. And there was a sword that turned every way to make sure that the tree of life was kept sacred. Just the presence of that sword is what kept everything away. No man dared enter into that place to violate that tree of life because there was a sword there. In this nation, the greatest thing that we have is our ability to carry a sword. The good guys. Because the bad guys already are. So when the St. Louis mayor says, we don't need to bring more guns in downtown St. Louis, man's crazy. Man's absolutely insane. Okay? Because that guy got shot coming out of Busch Stadium. Pow! And he had a concealed carry license. But they would not let him have a locker right outside the stadium, put his gun in. While he went to the ball game, he comes back out. Every thief in that town knows when you go into that parking garage, you're weaponless. And that's why they shot him. Okay? When the bad guys know the good guys are carrying, they won't touch you. When the devils, listen to me now, when the devils, spirits, things that are going to go after you, because you're the man, they're going to go after you, because you're the husband. They're going to try to get you, because if they get you, she's easy pickings. Right? Who did the devil go to in the Garden of Eden? Went to the woman. Went around the man, get to the woman. And go after the children. They know this. Roland here is not ready yet to carry a sword. He cannot protect himself. It befalls upon Steve and Courtney to protect him in every feasible way to protect him. Hold on to that sword. Don't let it go. The sword, praise God, shall never depart from your house. You ought to be thankful for that. Amen. I want us to stand. And if you want to come down here, one of these benches, to pray, I want to give you that time. Maybe it'd be good for you. But I want maybe some guys, maybe some families or whatever, to just come and just make a commitment between them and God that says, God, whatever you do, don't let the sword depart from my house, because I'm going to need it. You know I'm going to need it. Don't ever let it depart out of my house. That's good. I'm not saying you have to come down here. It's not a sign of how spiritual you are or are not. So please don't think that if you stay where you are, that that's a bad thing. Just spend some time in prayer, okay? God, don't ever take that sword out of my house.